Luke chapter number 13, if you would, please. Luke chapter number 13 tonight. Told the preacher this afternoon, I just got in from Asheville, went up and got a little exercise and came back, and I told him I wasn't going to eat supper this afternoon. I just really didn't have my mind set on what I was going to preach tonight, and I knew if I could get along with the Lord, not saying that I agonized in the floor for 3 or 4 hours, but I did pray and say, Lord, I want you to put on my heart what we need tonight. And I just have not been able. You know, sometimes, Brother Davey knows how this is. You can go into services with that kind of singing and that kind of choir. And I, be honest, I think the choir's as good tonight's been all week. I just, man, what a touch. And I believe some of y'all quit getting in other people's business. I mean, I preached that last night. Brother David looked at me and said, Preacher, I know a good song for that message. I said, what? He said, Go Tell It on the Mountain. You'd have just had to been here. But anyway, but yet tonight, I didn't really even waver about what to preach. No matter what the songs would have been, I believe this to be what God wants tonight. Oh, yes. And so you pray for me. I know some of you see me in a little different gear when I'm in revival. This is really my heart. I enjoy Jubilees. You have probably one of, if not the best one in the country. And God just uses it mightily, has for years. Touched my heart when I was in evangelism before I ever started this last 15 years of pastoring. And I had the privilege of coming to it when I needed it. And I'm glad of that. But my heart is the local church.
Yes, sir.
My burden is revival. Amen. And my burden is that people don't have to die and go to hell.
That's right.
Amen. Yes. Luke chapter 13, verse number 22 tonight. Wow. Good singing. All of it. Yes. And he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. And once the master of the house is risen up and have shut to the door, you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. I want you to look at verse number 23, where the Bible says, Lord, are there few that be saved? I want to preach tonight on this simple thought, why are some people not saved? Why are some people not saved? Let's bow together and pray. Heavenly Father, to the best of my ability tonight, I want to remind you, Lord, I appreciate the sweet presence of God that's in this place tonight. Lord, I felt it as the choir sung tonight and the joy on their face. Lord, I felt it tonight as Brother Doug and his family sung, and Lord, just the sweet presence of God. Lord, I pray tonight, hide me behind the cross. Clothe me in my calling. Lord, I pray tonight, God, do for me what I cannot do for myself. Lord, I just want to make much of you tonight, and I pray that you'd help me, and I'll thank you for what you do. And all God's people said, you can be seated tonight. No doubt tonight, when you think about those songs we've heard, and you think tonight about the goodness of God and how we have enjoyed in our lives the goodness of God. I remembered when I was saved and I never dreamed it could be this good. I never dreamed that God would do for me what he's done. I never dreamed in this life all the things that could transpire. But I think that you realize tonight that the majority of the world is lost. No doubt some years ago, and it's been several years ago now, when Tim Tebow back then was quarterbacking for the Florida Gators in years ago, and he had placed John 3:16 underneath his eyes as a shield for the lights in the stadium. And it was amazing, but 1.5 million Americans Googled, simply Googled, think about this, what is John 3:16? Wow. 1.5 million Americans. Think about that. Can you imagine that many people that have no idea what John 3:16 was? And we know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We know that verse, but 1.5 million people in America had no clue. Tonight I'm convinced that I preach in churches where people have a head knowledge of God. I'm convinced that I preach in churches where people have been stirred emotionally. But I'm afraid that I preach to many people today that do not know Christ as their Savior. I want to say this to you tonight. Listen, I am convinced the reason pastors have so many problems in churches in our country. I was looking the other day about how many men quit the ministry every single week. And listen, I want to say this. I'm convinced because we're trying our best to make goats act like sheep. I want you to understand tonight, friend, salvation is not something that you can dress up for. Salvation is not something that you can do. Friend, salvation is a sovereign work of a holy God, and nothing else can save you apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. The disciples talking to the Lord, no doubt here in this passage of the Word of God, they've been around the goodness of God and the miracles of God and all that God had done. And they said, Lord, are there few that be saved? It's just hard for them to believe. When you get around God, why wouldn't everybody be saved? Why do people you work with have no interest?
Right.
Why is it that people you go to school with have no interest? Why is it that people in our world have no interest in God? What is it? What has happened? Why are people not saved? God gave me this thought. I began to pin down a few things that I firmly believe on why people are not saved. And I want to share them with you tonight. By the way, it is the sovereign's will that people be saved. I am a whosoever will gospel preacher. I believe Jesus died for the red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. I believe he died for the Muslims in Africa. I believe he died for the unsaved in America. I believe he died for the religious lost. I believe he died for everybody, no matter who you are, what you look like, where you come from. Jesus died for everybody. I believe that. He said he's not willing that any should perish. That's the sovereign's will. Yeah. Then I thank God for the Spirit's wooing.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad. Listen, I didn't come to him.
No.
I didn't go looking for God.
Right.
I didn't come to him. He came to me.
Yeah.
He came to me. You got to understand tonight, I'd been in church. I knew how to quote the books of the Bible. I knew how to act right. I even knew what to look like. But friend, he had never broke me down enough in myself that I realized I was lost and undone. But then one Sunday, he came to me and dealt with my heart. Thank God for the Spirit's wooing.
Amen.
Then I thank God for the Scripture's warning. I'm glad. I didn't grow up independent Baptist. I grew up in the Southern Baptist Church, Convention Church. I had an old-fashioned preacher that preached a King James Bible. Didn't have about a fifth grade education. Man, could that dude preach. And I'd sit there and every Sunday, no matter where I sat, that rascal would point at me. No matter where I was. You know what I'm glad of now? He died. Listen, Miss Hazel and I got married just a few years later. Brother Frank passed away, and I was just really getting going, starting in Bible college really young, 18, 19 years old. And he never got to see me be a pastor or get to see me get to preach. But I believe if he could, I believe in heaven, he'd be cheering me on. For he was the one that gave me the script. I can't wait till I get to heaven one day and be able to thank him for telling me the truth. Preacher, why are some people not saved? I want to say, first of all, and I believe this, because Satan has deceived them. I have people sometimes come to me and they say to me, preacher, I'm doubting my salvation. I want to say this, and I believe this, God is not the author of confusion. I do not believe God would be interested in making you doubt anything. I believe God would convict you and let you know you're lost, but some saved people need to get to the place where they go back to and know they've been born again and saved by the grace of God. The Bible says in John 8:44, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father it is your will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, standeth not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own, for he is a liar and the father thereof. Preacher, why are some people not saved? Satan has deceived them. Satan has convinced people that if I just live a good enough life, Satan has convinced people that if I just do more good deeds than I do bad deeds, Satan has convinced people that if I join a church or sign a roll or if I get baptized, friend, you can get baptized in every creek in Spartanburg, know every fish by first name, and still die and go to hell if you have never been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. Satan has deceived them. I said this to my church some time ago. Why is it so hard for some people to serve God? You ever wondered that? You ever wondered why it's so hard for some people to be faithful, to serve God, to live for God? Friend, I got news for you. I have not been everything I should have been since I've been saved. But I've had a longing in my heart ever since I got born again to serve God. Has Satan deceived you tonight? Has Satan lied to you tonight? Friend, I'll tell you this. If he has, you ought to tell him he's a liar and you're no longer going to listen to him and you ought to get born again tonight. Second of all, preacher, why are some people not saved? Not only has Satan deceived them, but I believe this secondly, sin has delighted them. Bible says, and this is the judgment that the light has come into the world. Men love darkness. I am amazed when I drive down the interstate. Every 100 feet, I hear about a haunted trail, a haunted house, blood and gore, zombies, darkness, everywhere you go. Matter of fact, it's said that right now Halloween is getting very close to becoming one of the number one commercial holidays of the entire year. I don't mean to make you mad, but eggs don't grow on trees. I don't mean to upset anybody, but I'm telling you this tonight. This world is infatuated with darkness. Satanism is all about darkness. That's why those involved in the occult lean to black and go to black fingernails and black eyeliner and black hair and black clothes. Why? They are so infatuated with the blackness and the darkness. They are so infatuated with the dark. I'm not going to lie to you when I say sin has delighted them. I'm not going to lie to you tonight. I'll say this to you tonight. Sin can be fun. I just want you to understand that tonight. I realize that. Matter of fact, I mean, it'll give you a high. It'll give you a thrill. Sin will take you somewhere emotionally. Sin will do things. I mean, you'll think, man, I'm finally getting in on it after being missing out on everything, and I'm enjoying all this. And even Moses himself had to make a decision one day, and he had to decide whether or not he's going to stay with the people of God. I was going to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The problem with sin is it comes with a price. Sin delighted them.
Yep.
I will say this tonight. I was involved in sin before I got saved. I'm glad God saved me younger. 17, I was saved in the end of that time right out of high school. I was glad I got saved, but I'm going to tell you this. I got in a whole lot of mess before I got saved. And I was a church member. I could look the part. I could talk Christianity better than some people I meet today when I was lost. Because I knew it in my head. My mama raised me on drugs. She drugged me to service every time the doors were open. I knew what that was like. But I was lost. I thought I was having fun. That Sunday night, when I walked down that aisle and gave my life to Christ, the devil had me convinced, boy, look at all you're giving up. Look at all you're giving up. You know what I didn't realize that night? I wasn't giving up anything. And by the way, God will never leave a void in your life. If he takes something out, he'll put something better in it where he took it out. He will not leave a void in your life. And if I'd have known, oh my soul, if I'd have known, is this good? When I was in delivery room, I'd got the doctor out of the way and said, somebody get me a preacher. Sin hath delighted them. Preacher, why are some people not saved? Thirdly, somebody has discouraged them. Bible says, but woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, lest ye shut the kingdom of God, a kingdom of heaven, against men. Do you realize that there will be Christian people that will have the blood of somebody on their hands at the bema seat of Christ because they have discouraged someone away from God? I've knocked on doors on visitation, on our OBSATs and bus visitation, and knocked on doors, and you can't get people to darken the doors of a church because somebody that said they were saved has discouraged them to the place they don't even want to go. Now, I'm going to interject something here, then I'm going to move on because it is not my stopping place tonight. You better be very careful what you say and do on social media. Because my daughter had to cut preachers off of her social media page. And if I named some of the names, you would know them. You know why? She said, Daddy, I would hate for one of my lost friends to be sitting here if I was looking on Facebook and they saw some of that garbage. Christians get on there and argue.
Yeah.
Run people down.
Yeah. Go ahead,
and don't misunderstand me. Some for it, some for Facebook, some against it. I use it. You can trace mine back as long as I've ever had it. You will never find a negative comment. If I'm going to make a negative comment to you, I'm not going to do it on the internet. I'm going to do it face to face. My daddy raised me that way. I don't hide behind computers. There's a whole lot of tough folk behind computers. Don't you listen to me while I'm preaching that. You got to remember, there's a lost world that is watching. I'm amazed at garbage. The things people arguing about their own family. Running people down. And the world's just looking going, so that's Christianity. Friend, listen. Why are people going to hell? Why are people lost? Somebody has discouraged them. I've witnessed people and they looked at me and said, I'm sick of this Christian junk. Number four. Not only has Satan deceived them. Not only has sin delighted them and somebody discouraged them. Preacher, why are people dying without God? Why are people lost? Self-righteousness has dominated them. For being ignorant, Romans says, of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law unto righteousness to everyone that believeth. Friend, I'm going to heaven, but it's not because of my suit. It's not because of my goodness. It's not because of what I've done. It's all because of Him. That's what's going to make heaven so sweet. Ain't none of us going to be able to get there and say, I made it because I did this. I made it because I did that. I made it because I was this good. Oh no, honey, if you get there, it'll be one way. It'll be the blood of the Son of God that died for your sin. That's how you'll get there. Preached a message years ago on clothes makes the man. Policeman puts on a uniform. That's what it makes him. Fireman puts on a fireman. You look at him and say, that's a fireman. You know why I'm a Christian? Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything good about, hey, anything good about me at all tonight, anything good about me at all tonight, I owe all to Him. If you're in this auditorium tonight and you say, preacher, I'm sick of all the hypocritical Christians. I am too, and I apologize. You say, preacher, I know people, they try to look right on the outside, but their life, you ought to see how they live, preacher, away from church. It's because they're not clothed in the righteousness of Christ. I am amazed. I can do something that you would think is so minute, and I feel like a bum for 2 weeks. Under conviction. And there's people can say they're saved and cuss, swear, don't go to church, run other Christians down, look at pornography, play the lottery, go to the dance hall. I've always wondered that. And I got to wonder, Brother Brady, is it the same Holy Ghost, or has God got a different one for folks? Now, I'm not saying I've arrived, because, boy, He sure beats me up when I do wrong. But I don't get it. How do you do stuff like that and you're not bothered? Why are you not bothered? I preached a message years ago, when you're no longer bothered, you need to be bothered. Well, preacher, I don't see nothing wrong with it. I'm not bothered by it. Natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Maybe the reason you're not bothered is there's nothing but a natural man. And I got saved, it was like them cowboys with them up there sitting there with the stagecoach. Seemed like the old boy with the reins is the one that always got shot every time. Be two of them on there, one with the rifle, one with the reins. The old boy with the reins, every time you watch Bonanza Gunsmoke, every time you watch Indian Westerns, that dude holding the reins would always get shot. He'd fall off the side. Old boy had to lay his rifle down and grab the reins. Guess what happened to me one day? I was trying to drive on my own. I was trying to go on my own. Then a Holy Ghost bullet shot me, amen? And somebody else took up the reins, amen? And I'm glad that he still has those reins today. Right? I'll be honest with you. If I were to walk in to the QT place down there, by the way, they have good pizza, about a slice. If I'd walk into the QT place down there and I'd get my change back and they would have gave me one penny too much and I knew it, I could not let that go. That's just a penny. I couldn't let it go. It would eat me up if I had to preach knowing I had a penny wasn't mine. But yet, we can sit on a bar stool, turn up Bud Dumber, Miller Lowlife, go do the jig on the dance floor half naked, and then walk in church and say, I'm so glad I'm saved. What's the difference? I'm not being judgmental. I'm just asking you, how come I didn't get that Holy Ghost? God's got several different... I'm just thinking out loud. You say, well, you think you're perfect? Lord, no, because of that Holy Ghost, I know I'm not. Yeah. Right. Praise God, I get behind the woodshed quite often. I know, well, preacher, the Lord doesn't treat me like that. He loves me. Well, the reason I get behind the woodshed is because he loves me. Yeah. Right. Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned that dance hall thing. That went over like a ton of bricks. Why are some people not saved, preacher? Why would men like, and I was listening right under the road, I love that app they have for the radio station there in Greenville, but when you listen to people like Dr. Seitler and you listen to Mays Jackson, you listen to years gone by, why did they always say that churches were full of lost people? Those men were godly men. J. Harold Smith. Church is full of lost people. Now, I'm not trying. Listen, there's a movement in fundamentalism today trying to make everybody doubt their salvation so we can go and brag about how many we had saved. I'm not interested in that. Now, I'm not saying that's the reason. Well, God forbid. Maybe I ought not even said that. But I'm not saying don't read nothing into that. I think if people have people saved, I'm tickled to death. I'm glad they do. Hallelujah for that. But I have just been around some time where people are spending more time talking to saved people out of being saved than they are trying. I mean, when's the last time somebody walked in our doors that didn't look all Christian, didn't look all dressed up, wicked and vile and needed God, and they walked in and sat down and trembled under conviction? 2 weeks ago, we had a young man, 18 years old. One of the fellows in the neighborhood had invited him to come. He goes to school with. His name is Jack. Coat and tie every Sunday, 18 years old. Very quiet. I don't know, he'd said 20 words in the 3 or 4 times he'd been there. Last 2 weeks ago, Sunday night, Jack came down the altar and got born again. Got saved. When he got saved, it got on. Some of our teenagers, especially one invited him, been witnessing to him. You can imagine. The youth choir got up and sung. Next thing I know, we was in the third heaven. Whether in the body or not, I know not. I mean, it was just good. Don't you watch this? There's two young boys, they're twins. They sit on the back row with our bus captain. And the reason they have to sit on the back row with our bus captain is because them boys make Ritalin nervous. They can't sit still. They're wide open. They are running. I mean, they're two teenage boys twin boys, and they got saved a few months back, and I really got born again. But son, you talking about ants in your pants. Them boys cannot. So the our people, and they come on Sunday night and Wednesday too, but they have to sit with them. And that's it. Sit down. Be quiet. I took them out for pizza two Sunday nights ago after that service, and them two boys were in line. Every time I went up there, they was in line. And I said, y'all enjoying this? Preacher, this will be my 23rd piece. He wasn't lying. I thought, no wonder, man, much as energy that youngin has, he probably burned 21 of them off. But the other night, you know how you got to watch when people walk in your church these days. Y'all know how that is. You got to, I mean, we have securities like you guys do. You got to be careful. People mean. But the other night, I watched a guy walk in the back door. And I don't mean by having a tattoo he was going to heaven or hell, but he was sleeved up with tattoos, had long hair down his back, rugged looking with jeans. I mean, not good. I mean, I'm talking about looked like they've been worn for, you know, a good while and shirt all. Obviously, you could tell he just walked out of the world. He stood at the back door. So I had guys watching him. I was preaching. Finally, he walked over to this right side of the church, and he stood behind them two young boys in the back corner of the church on a Sunday night. Never sat down. I kept looking at him. He just stood there. He didn't move at the invitation. Nothing happened. After the service, one of my greeters, we have greeters at the back door, came to me and said, Pastor, I said, that fella just walked in. I said, yeah. They said, when he walked in and stood in the back here, and that priest said he was shaking, just shaking. That's the night little Jack got saved. He's just shaking. I said, well, who was he? And that was them two boys, Daddy, sat on that back row. He didn't get saved that night. But as we like to say in North Carolina, he's in the cooker. You ever heard that, sister? He's in the cooker. God did, shaking. What happened to that? What happened to that old time conviction that brought us to our knees with tears? What happened to that? Let me give you the final thing. Be 30 minutes exactly. Preacher, why are some people not saved? Satan has deceived them. Sin has delighted them. Somebody has discouraged them. Self-righteousness has dominated them. Or either the Savior has already determined them. I shared with you the other night. I won't go through it again. But I have met people. Didn't I share with you the other night about the man standing up? I have met people that God has left alone. I'm going to say something to you tonight. You're not going to heaven because you're Baptist. You're not going to heaven because you're better than so-and-so over here or there. And you're not going to get to heaven and say, Lord, I'd have got saved, but you know how so-and-so lived, and it just so discouraged me. I got news for you. That's not going to work. You must be born again. Something that's like being preached on our day as well is repentance. You'll never get saved until you repent of what you've done. We run buses at our church. Sometimes 100-plus children can come on those buses. You will never see us get one down at the altar and say this. Every time one of them youngins comes forward, they go back to one of our staff guys that work with children, and they set them down with the Bible. And they talk to them about Christ. Because how many times has somebody come in a church service and said, I made a profession when I was a kid? Would you stand to your feet, but very quietly listen to me tonight? Everybody look up here just a minute. You guys have been awesome every night to preach to. Thank you so much. Such liberty, and you guys are so kind. Won't you listen to me tonight? I'm ashamed to say this, but I was baptized at least 3 times before I got saved. every Bible school our church had, they would ask a question. Who wants to go to heaven? Well, if you're 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, and somebody says, who wants to go to heaven? Well, what's the alternative? I think I will. And I would go down to an altar and they would Paul parrot me. What I mean by that is, repeat this after me. If you want to go to heaven. Thought as a little boy, who doesn't want to go to heaven? Say, preacher. What was the difference when you were 17? I didn't want to go to hell. And I knew I was lost. Matter of fact, nobody even talked to me at the altar that time. Y'all know my testimony. Halfway down the aisle, I couldn't take it no more. And I asked God to save me. When I got to the preacher and shook his hand, he was so excited to get to lead me to the Lord. He said, what can I do for you, Chris? And I said, Brother Frank, I got saved. He looked at me puzzled and he said, when? I said, halfway down that aisle. I said, Brother Frank, I'm just coming to tell you, everything's all right now. Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, yes.
For the first time that night, I didn't go turn on AC/DC. I didn't turn on a strobe light in my room. For the first time that night, I pulled those covers up and thought, I don't have to go to hell.
Yeah. 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 Amen. Amen. Hey. Yes, sir.
Oh.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember that.
I saw deacons in a church one time, a deacon buying beer at a grocery store. Almost turned me into hell. I sat in the back of the church with people talking and passing notes and cutting up. Almost turned me into hell. But one day, Brother Mayo, Holy Ghost slipped back our second row from the back, said, I love you, son. Jesus died for you, and you don't have to go to hell. Thank God for that still, small voice. And it changed my life. I don't mean I got religious. It changed my life. Stars on dress parade. Kissing my mama. Hugging my daddy. And telling all my friends, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. It makes a difference when Jesus passes by. With our heads bowed tonight and our eyes closed tonight, how many have a testimony tonight? A sure testimony. A no doubt testimony. You were there. You remember the very well. You know without a doubt. If you died tonight, heaven would be your home. You know that you know you've been born again. As a testimony to God's amazing grace. Would you just slip that hand up tonight as a testimony of His grace? You can put your hand down. I wonder in this auditorium tonight if you're here and you'd say, preacher, I've struggled with that for a long time. Or you might even say tonight, preacher, I just don't know. Preacher, I know I don't want to go to hell. Preacher, I know I need to get it settled. would you pray for me? Nobody's looking in this building but me and the Holy Ghost. I wonder who'd slip your hand up and put it right back down and say, preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. To slip it up, put it right back down. I want to pray for you tonight. Anybody at all in this building? If you don't lift that hand, what you're telling me is this. If I died tonight, I know I'd go to heaven. My way home last night, got a message of a 31-year-old preacher. He's a member of church in I preached in 3 weeks ago. Got 3 kids. Works for Splunday doing the tree cutting. Had a tree to back kick. Took him out of this world, 31 years old. He's a member of Brother Cardwell's church, one of my good friends, Charity Hill. Friend, you're not promised another day. And there is no way tonight that God would have ever put this on my heart. If somebody in this building wouldn't care enough about your own soul to say, preacher, would you pray for me? I'm struggling with my salvation. I want to know that I know. Would you pray for me? It's the last time I'm going to mention it. Who will slip that hand up right now? And let this preacher pray for you. Thank you, son, for your honesty. Someone else? Just slip it up. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to die without God. Someone else tonight? I'm convinced the Holy Ghost wants me to just wait a second. Preacher, I'm struggling with my salvation. I need to get it settled. Pray for me. Who else tonight? God and wrath, remember mercy. Who else tonight? Can I ask you this tonight? For those of you that know you're saved, no struggle with it at all, is there somebody you're thinking about right now? As I say to my church, is somebody you couldn't imagine life without? You couldn't imagine eternity without them. They're that special to you. But you know deep in your heart they've never trusted Christ as their Savior. Never been saved. And if they die, they're going to die and spend the rest of their life in a Christless eternity. Maybe you'd like tonight to pray, God, give me a special burden for them. God, don't let them die and go to hell because I didn't intercede and stand in the gap while they're singing. Young man, listen to me tonight. Nobody knows but me and you, but I sure wished you'd get that settled tonight. If you'll slip out and come tonight, one of your friends might come with you, I don't know. But while they're singing, and I'm not going to single you out, I'm not coming to you. But I would love for you to walk down this aisle, let us take the Bible where you can get it settled that you don't have to worry that you're going to hell, man. You don't have to worry that you're going to hell. You can know that you're saved. If I had somebody to pray for tonight, I'm not trying to get you to slide out of a seat just to do it. If you don't have a burden for somebody, you ought not do it. Boy, if God's put somebody on your heart that you couldn't imagine eternity without them, Lord, I'd come down and wet this altar with some tears. And I'd beg God that they wouldn't have to go to hell.
Is there something in your heart?
Young man, would you come?
Between
that's right.
You and the
Lord.
Would
you meet that young man in Christ?
Are you drifting apart? Not as close anymore. There's nothing you can do that He will not forgive. Bring it to the cross. Let it die so you can live. Nail it to the cross. Get it under the blood. Drown your pain in every stain in the mercy's blood. Nail it to the cross. Find hope and forgiveness. Kneel at the tree and walk away free. Nail it to the cross. Is there a burden you bear that's got you battered and bound? Are you struggling for strength? Do you long to lay it down?
Are you getting a burden for that person tonight?
Don't take another step. Just kneel where you stand. Lay it at the cross and take a hammer in your hand. Nail it to the cross. Get it under the blood. Drown your pain in every stain in the mercy's blood. Walk away free, nail it to the cross.
Many are praying. I want you to look at me. I'm going to say this to you, and then I'm going to. And I know Brother Tim's been around Brother Daniel several years, Brother Ralph. You ladies carry a baby for 9 months in your life. You anticipate, you're excited, and you look forward to that new child coming into your life. You go to that delivery room anticipating life. But one thing has to happen. There has to be birthing power. The process has to begin. What scares me across this country is churches that are riding it out, and we've lost the power in the birthing room. Now, I'm not saying that about us tonight. I don't know that. But I preach in places where sinners raise their hands. And I'd have to throw a log chain and drag them. Because there's no birthing power. We're more interested in what time we get out. We're more interested in the world. And people around us every day are dying and going to hell every day. Young people, I love you, but some of you are more interested in your reputation at school. So nobody think different of you about being a Christian, you'll kind of skate it. Because reputation means more than them dying and going to hell to you. I remember, Brother Raines, when I used to preach meetings years ago, people would fill pews weeping with lost family. I watched a lady in my own church 14, 13 years ago that crawled from the second row in a dress screaming and weeping over a family member going to hell. And I watched that family member come to Christ. Denton, North Carolina, I watched a lady praying while the entire church shouted, not realizing that the brother she had wept on that same piece of carpet for 24 years had just given his life to the Lord that night while she was over there praying. Let's get a burden back. I'm glad we got Jesus. The greatest life you could ever live.
Yes, sir.
But let's don't forget, there are people all around us and they're dying lost without God. And maybe you and I could be the hope and we could tell them about Jesus. God burdens you tomorrow. Don't pass a lady at Walmart. God burdens you tomorrow. Speak to somebody. My people ask me all the time, preacher's hard for me. What do I tell them? Don't talk about their life. Just simply tell them what Jesus did for you. He did do something for you, didn't he? Amen. Boy, I appreciate the Spirit of God. Buddy, I want to tell you, if you ever struggle with doubt, just remember this. Remember, God would never make you doubt. He is not the author of confusion. When somebody says to me, preacher, I made a profession, but I'm just confused. I'm not sure if I usually don't worry too much about them. Now, I know that's a bold statement, but I'll be honest with you. Conviction is different than confusion. Confusion you can take off when you leave here. Get your mind on something else. But conviction will get in the car with you. Conviction will go to bed with you. Conviction will get up in the morning with you. And until you get it settled, it won't leave you alone. Confusion, you'll get over it quick. Because that's the devil. That ain't God. Amen.